Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but don't you know?
Yeah. Started to burn too many things we found. This is Harvey Wasserman at the Solartopia Green Power and Wallace Show, back for another hour. We're going to be talking about, of course, the 2016 election and the rise of the new fascist bigot unelected in the White House, the first they have to say, I suppose, since Andrew Jackson. It is not a pretty picture, folks. I've been teaching today at my school here in Central Ohio, and I've had two black students tell me they've been harassed already. Reports of women's hijabs being ripped off, a threatening note to a gay student saying, now that Trump's in the White House, we're going to get you. That kind of stuff is going on already, ladies and gentlemen. This is a major turning point in American history. There's absolutely no doubt about that. This is not going to be fun, and it is very, very real. We are going to talk, though, about the legitimacy of the election. I want to start off by saying that Bob Petrakis, my guest today, and I have co-authored a piece which is going around in the Internet. It's at progressive.org, Free Press. .org, numerous other places, Sparky Chimp, basically pointing out the simple fact, the obvious fact, that Hillary Clinton won the election. I'm not a big fan of Hillary Clinton, but the fact of the matter is this is now the sixth time in U.S. history that because of the Electoral College, the person who came in second, the person who lost the election, is actually going to become the president of the United States. Donald Trump is a total. Well, this is a family show. We're actually, this is cable. We can use the seven deadly words, but I'm not going to do it because we're on some other networks as well. But there's no describing Donald Trump. There will be a very interesting development. We're going to have to see how bigoted he's really going to be once he's in the White House. Is he going to change his tune? Is he going to soften his story? But again, I want to repeat, I taught three classes today. I have two white students who said that they were actually yelled at by people driving by some cars, essentially to the effect that, you know, Trump is in and we're going to get you. That's basically what's happening. Threatening notes to gay students. People wearing hijabs, being harassed, and we have in the White House essentially an unelected fascist bigot. We're going to have to see how that plays out. Nobody's running away to Canada. Well, maybe a few people are. I don't know. They just got rid of Stephen, what's his name up there? Harper, Stephen Harper, who himself was not exactly a great progressive, but Bob Petrakis is on. Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
A couple of things. First of all, Bob Petrakis is my co-author on six or seven books. I can't remember how many. Our current book, which we are going to revise now that the election is over, the Strip and Flip Selection of 2016, Five Jim Crows and the Electronic Election Theft, laying out the history of black disenfranchisement and election theft in American history. I do want to point out a couple of good things. I believe there were nine referenda on pot, marijuana, legalizing pot in this country in this election, and eight of them succeeded. California legalized pot, Nevada, I think Massachusetts, and I think Vermont. Do you remember the other states that legalized pot? I mean, California is 10% of the country. That's a big deal. That means that 40 million people, 30 to 40 million people now live in a state, one state in California, which where marijuana is legal, and that's good. We like that. And the polls on legalizing pot now are just enormous in terms of favorability. It'll be interesting to see how the new bigot in the White House is going to deal with the legal pot. Are they going to go after it on the federal level? I mean, that's going to be an interesting situation. And we had one. Did we vote in Ohio on pot this time, Bob? I don't think so.
No, but we did vote on decriminalization. There were six decriminalizations of marijuana possession up, and it passed in five cities, many of them, in rural areas.
Oh, you mean in city by city in Ohio, we had these referenda, and they passed.
Yeah, and they weren't for legalization or medical use. They were for decrim. Essentially, it's not a criminal fine to have marijuana. It's a civil infraction.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Also, there was a phony referendum on the ballot in Florida. It was marketed as a pro-solar referendum, but the people of Florida saw through it and they did not pass it. They defeated it. It would have absolutely solar energy industry in Florida, and so we dodged that bullet as well. That's good. Not much else good news on the ballot around the country. A woman, Tammy Duckworth, I think, won the Senate seat in Illinois. They defeated the Republican senator in New Hampshire, but of course the Republican control of the House and Senate as well as the media. So we now have basically a no other way to term it. We have pretty much a fascist government we're dealing with here. So let's talk, you and I, about the realities of the election and how it was conducted. We do want to cover first and foremost the fact, and we're seeing a lot of stuff on the Internet, that Hillary Clinton was not the legitimate nominee of the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders was. We've talked a lot about this, but there's no doubt, based on our research and the research of a broad number of other people, that Bernie Sanders was the rightful winner of the primaries. And let's start by asking, Bob, how do you think Bernie would have done in the election this time instead of Hillary? Do you think Bernie Sanders would have been the winner?
Well, yeah, most of the polls indicated Bernie was 10 to 11 points ahead of Trump.
And how do you think that would have played out in the general election?
Oh, I think Sanders would have won. I mean, think about it from this perspective. Like, there's this tremendous populism, both on the left behind Sanders and on the right behind Trump. Essentially, one columnist said, it's the neoliberal bubble. The free trade, let's move all our jobs out of the United States, let's exploit cheap labor and get cheap junk back from overseas. And essentially, you ran the wife, the consummate insider, deal-cutting wife of the man who brought America free trade and neoliberal that has made both people on the right for Trump and on the left for Sanders so upset. So I think Sanders, who would have been the real deal, I mean, remember, Harvey, that the key thing with populism, it's a push from below of ordinary people, workers, farmers, that feel the 1%, the elite, the plutocrats, the rich are exploiting them, right? But the right thing always cuts to a scapegoat, like immigrants or gay people, or while the left always analyzes the system and says, look, if you declare corporations people and give corporations all these power, then of course they're going to extract the wealth and move the jobs overseas. So I think the authentic populism without any scapegoats, any ethnic, sexual, gender groups would have easily defeated, you know, the verbose and hyperbolic Trump.
And do you think even a Jewish 74-year-old candidate could have defeated Donald Trump?
Well, he defeated Hillary Clinton, you know, in Trump's 70 and in many cases is inauthentic. If you look at his record, I think he would have hived off a fair amount of the Trump supporters who couldn't bring themselves to vote for the symbol of neoliberal deal cutting, and also the fact, you know, she's got a reputation as a neocon war hawk.
Yeah, today for people with orange hair, I'll have to say that. But okay, so let's look now at the mechanics of the voting. You and I have a piece out that, of course, Hillary won the popular vote. She won by somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 votes nationwide. Apparently, we're still counting. I've been getting some emails saying that the reason that she won the popular vote is because of all those fake voting immigrants in California. That they're the ones who really gave her the majority. But I do want to go through the record real quick. This is the sixth time in United States history, that's six times with 45 presidents, it's pretty high, it's more than 10%, that the person who came in second won the election. In 1800, Thomas Jefferson ran against John Adams. Jefferson won in the Electoral College 73-65, but those 11 of those votes, electoral votes, came from the three-fifths bonus, which counted slaves for a vote, a three-fifths of a vote, even though they couldn't vote themselves. And without the three-fifths bonus in 1800, John Adams would have been reelected. In 1824, John Quincy Adams cut a deal with Henry Clay, the slave-owning senator from Kentucky, and stole the Electoral College from Andrew Jackson, my least favorite, one of my least favorite presidents, actually, but nonetheless, I mean, John Quincy Adams was a much better guy than Andrew Jackson. I'm kind of glad he stole that election, but nonetheless, he was outvoted 150-100 by Jackson, and he cut a deal and stole that one. And then in 1876, there was a tie vote because of stolen electoral votes, and Rutherford B. Hayes, the Ohio Republican, became president, ended Reconstruction, which was a catastrophe for the country. 1888, Benjamin Harrison came in second in the popular vote, but won the Electoral College. And then, of course, in 2000, George W. Bush lost the election to Al Gore by 500,000 votes, actually lost the vote in Florida, but the Supreme Court and Jeb Bush intervened, and we wound up with eight catastrophic years. God forbid we should have eight more years like we had with George W. Bush. But it looks like that's where we're headed, although I'd speculate at this point that Trump would never run for a second term. He'd be like 70-something by then. But at any rate, so that has happened now, Bob Fitrakis. We have once again put the loser in the White House.
Yeah, and we're one of the only systems in the world where the loser wins. In most country, the person with the most votes win, but even more normal is that there's a runoff. And since neither Clinton nor Trump had a majority, you would have eliminated Johnson and Stein, and then there would have been a runoff for the presidency. So we now have a non-majoritarian president, which is compounded by the fact that half the population isn't voting and many of them have been stripped, and the fact that I looked about an hour ago. She was up 301,000 votes over Trump. So it's really it's the oldest constitution in the world, and it's absolutely undemocratic and defective.
College was established in the Constitutional Convention in 1787 with the explicit purpose of giving slave owners that three-fifths bonus and also allegedly protecting the small states from the big states. But, you know, that's gone by the boards now, and it's just completely obsolete. And it's amazing to me how completely the corporate media has ignored the popular votes. I mean, I was following the New York Times front page online yesterday very closely, and I could not find anywhere a reference to the popular vote. It was all about the electoral vote. If you looked at the front page of the New York Times, you would have, not knowing otherwise, you would have assumed that obviously Donald Trump was the winner of the popular vote, but they didn't publish the popular vote. It was all about the electoral college. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, that much has to change. The problem is, of course, it requires a constitutional amendment to get rid of the electoral college, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. So let's talk first, Bob, about the stripping. So now that we've established that Hillary Clinton was the rightful, well, Bernie Sanders would have been the rightful winner in this election. Hillary Clinton was the rightful winner. And now we have Donald Trump, you know, the fascist bigot, going into the White House. Now, go ahead.
Nah, but she may have defeated herself. I mean, since she stripped 126,000 voters, many young that overwhelmingly favored her in New York, she stripped so many voters in California to win the primary, and she stripped Bernie supporters throughout the primary process, is that some of those people may have never re-registered or gone out and voted for. Remember, she essentially, the Bernie voters, young college kid, were a core base for her against Trump, and many of them she deregistered, or people supporting her had them purged in places like Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. And, of course, she carried New York anyway, but that is quite a few popular votes. What do you think, Bob, as a political scientist who studied this, and we're now seeing some data from John Simon about exit polls? Let's start with the stripping of the voter rolls. How significant was the stripping of the voter rolls in terms of the decision in this election?
Well, I think it was, we'll have to see what happened in some of these battleground states. But in Ohio, you know, 1 million people were stripped in the run-up to the election, you know, 5-6 million voters. And then another million, 1.05 million, were not sent an absentee ballot request form, and absentee ballots are one of the better ways to vote. You only need the last four digits of your Social Security number. So the fact that potentially 2 million voters, overwhelmingly Black and Latino and poor, were targeted by Secretary of State John Husted, that becomes enormous in a swing state like Ohio. So you've got that problem. Also, we don't know yet or not whether the cross-check list, which had like 497,000 Asian, Black, and Hispanic voters, whether that was enacted by John Husted. So the massive known deregistrations by the Secretary of State, followed by not sending absentee ballots out to people who are eligible to vote, and the reports of people showing up and not being on the roles. For example, over in Driving Park, off Livingston, on the south side of Columbus, we went to the polls there, and it's overwhelmingly a black precinct, but 12% of the voters were voting provisionally, and none of those votes are counted in the initial results. So we have no idea. We can begin to calculate based on vote cast and counted or tallied, but it looks like in a lot of the minority areas here in Columbus, between 6 to 12% of the voters were forced to vote the Jim Crow provisional ballot, which is not counted on election night with the other ballots.
Statewide in Ohio, Ohio went for Trump by how many votes?
What we're looking at is, you know, him being over 50%. Let me find you the exact number. The official vote count shows him at 52.1 and Clinton at 43.5. Now, the exit polls, how people said they voted, it was a virgin tie, 47 to 47.1. So there's an unexplained 8.6% shift. So the odds of that happening naturally with no interference is once in every 671,052 elections. So the official numbers deviate significantly from the exit polls, how people said they voted.
How many votes do you think? Is it possible to tell how many votes were actually shifted in Ohio from Clinton to Trump?
Well, the best estimate is probably a 4.3% shift, because that will give you the 8.6. If you shifted electronically 4.3% of Clinton votes, you would get 8.6 for Trump. And here's the more interesting thing, is that if you look at the exit polls versus the actual vote nationally, nationally it's a 4.2% shift, almost identical to what the shift would have been in Ohio. But another interesting number is in 25 out of 28 states, there's a huge positive red shift for Trump. Now, if you assume, and this would be the logical assumption, that in there would be no chance, but if there was a shift, say in 25 out of 28 states, is that 50 in those 28 states, 14 would go to Clinton, 14 would go to Trump, right? There would be a natural even breakdown, 14-14, perhaps 13-15, maybe, you know, 12-16. But that would be precedent. In this case, it's 25 for Trump and 3 for Clinton. So instead of Clinton getting 14 breaking her way, Trump gets 25 of the 28. It's not a naturally occurring pattern. The logic of that happening is in, you know, what do you want, trillions, gillions. It's just statistically unlikely that you would have such a massive shift to one over the other. Now, there's other ways to look at this. These exit pollsters could be absolutely incompetent, or they massively undercounted the vote of Trump a possibility, or, you know, somebody's tampering with the electronic vote, which in Ohio would be really easy, since in 43 counties where there's two types of voting, 45 counties have the DREs, the direct recording electronic device, or what we would call computer voting with a touchscreen, which are easily hackable. The other 43 have Scantron ballots. But I sued on Monday before the election, filed on Friday, demanding that they turn their safety features on, their audit log, and the ballot imaging feature that records every ballot cast. So if anyone tampers with the ballot, but the state of Ohio, John Husted, fought for the right not to have the security features turned on for ballot scanning.
All right, now let's run through that real quickly. I do want to say that I'm looking now at the front page of the New York Times, and they finally have published the vote count the way it stands now. They're showing 279 electoral votes for Trump and 228 for Clinton. 270 is what Trump needed to win. I believe they're still out on the vote count in Michigan. I don't think they've actually finally finalized that. But according to the Times right now, Hillary Clinton got 60,071,781 votes, and Trump got 59,791,135. So Clinton basically won the popular vote by about 210,000 votes, which is twice what John Kennedy's margin was in 1960. Now, in Ohio, Bob, you filed a lawsuit the day before the election, demanding that the boards, a number of boards of election, preserve the electronic records of the votes so that we could have an actual recount. And the state of Ohio, the Secretary of State, went against you in court and won the right, as you said, to not have transparency on the vote count on the electronic machines here in Ohio. I wonder how many of that kind of event happened around the country. Do you have any other states, like, say, North Carolina, swing states where similar transparency was denied?
Well, these machines are used, you know, in many states. There's about 16 states that for the DREs, many of them with no paper trails. So these Scantrons are used in a variety, you know, of states, just dozens and dozens of states. The only one we know that issued a court opinion that, for the most part, in most counties, that the safety features had to be turned on was, of course, Arizona, because of the work of John Brakey.
So, the electronic voting machines, we have no idea what happened, basically.
Well, no, they're totally, you can't verify them in the first place. But you got to ask yourself, why would you turn off the audit logs, right, the safety feature and the ballot maker? I mean, this again is like going out, you're worried about, you know, your house being robbed. So you go out and buy this, you know, elaborate security system with an alarm and all these cameras that record everything, and then you decide to turn off the alarm and turn off all the cameras that will record if anyone breaks into your house.
Yeah, that's exciting. do you have exit polling data? I know John Simon put up...
Yeah, no, I've got it right in front of me. What do you want to know? Wisconsin looks a little funny.
Let's go state by state and tell us what you see in the exit poll data that we're getting from John Simon the author of Code Red.
Well, yeah, not only John Simon, who's found 28 out of the 25, but also Ron Behman has looked at the odds of some of these occurring. And the key factor, again, the odds that there's a unexplained positive shift towards Trump, a so-called red shift, in 25 out of the 28 states, with the assumption that if there's a shift, it's going to occur on both sides, right? If you're looking at some unexplained shift, it should be evenly distributed, right? 14 for Clinton, 14 for Trump. What you're getting here, again, is 25 for Trump and 3 for Clinton. So statistically unlikely. Imagine if you're flipping a coin and that coin comes up, you flip it 28 times, it comes up 25 times heads and only 3 times tails. You better get yourself another coin. Now, which states do you want to take a look at?
The electoral map. As I said, it's 279 to 228, Trump versus Clinton, in the New York Times. But they do have Michigan and Arizona still pink, which means that they have not, I guess, been finalized. You have 6 states that shifted from Obama to Trump: Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Iowa, and Wisconsin. And
in Florida, if you look at Florida, the odds in that case, the exit polls show Clinton winning 47.7% to 46.4%. The actual results show Trump winning 49.1% to 47.7%.
Okay, so
and
do
you
have
to calculate the odds? The odds are that that's one in every 5 elections you'll get a deviance like that. The problem is Trump's winning a lot of them that way, that these very unlikely long shots, you know, 1 in 5, 1 in 17, 1 in 220. I can go down the list and tell you how well Trump did. He came up in Florida with a 1-5 shot of actually winning based on the exit polls, and he won there. But he won almost every single one that was a battleground state. It's sort of twice the Bush. You know how Bush had 11 out of 12 battleground states? Trump essentially is getting that 25 to 28% in virtually every state we have exit polls for. So he's winning, although he's only got a 20% chance, he's winning in state after state that are battlegrounds and toss-ups. You know, and Michigan, for example, Michigan was supposed to be a dead heat, so they haven't called it yet. But the official counts show Trump with 1.8% shift.
Wow.
If you calculate the odds, again, that's 2-1, not 1-1. So, he's winning 2/3 of the time. Clinton should win that state. But instead, Trump's winning it, or it's still a toss-up. So he's beyond in almost every battleground state where they're suggesting where he's supposed to lose closely. he's winning closely or by a few points.
Well, they're showing here in the New York Times now, they're showing that Trump with 2.279 and Clinton with 2.67, which means that there's a 12,000 vote difference, which is, you know, 0.3% in Michigan. And in Arizona, they're showing Trump winning 972 to 888. So that's a 3.1 difference, 4.1 difference actually. That's a pretty clear victory for both. The margin of victory for Trump in Arizona over Clinton is bigger than Gary Johnson's vote, though it's not bigger than in Michigan.
The exit polls actually show Trump winning in Arizona. Without it's a toss up. It's within the margin of error, but he should have won by about 2.5% of the vote there.
Well, do we show
but,
any of
the other states? Wisconsin should have been a victory, according to the exit polls, for Hillary Clinton. She should have won by about 3.9% of the vote. Instead, Trump wins by 3.2. It's almost a flip. And the odds of that happening, he wins the jackpot again, one in every 19,361 elections. Do you win naturally occurring if the exit polls show you up 3.9 and you win by 3.2? Right, that's a 7.1% shift.
Well, do the exit polls show Hillary Clinton winning in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, or Iowa?
Oh, yeah. The exit polls are very clear that she wins in Pennsylvania. 50.9, yeah, 50.5 to 46.1. It shows her winning Pennsylvania by 4.4%. Instead, Trump wins by 1%. So it's an improbable 5.4% shift. Thus, one in every 29 elections. And that would occur, of course, every 4 years. So once in about every 130 years, Trump would win Pennsylvania. He just got really lucky over and 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 over. That's 10, there's 15 more to go.
Well, let's hear about Florida. If Clinton had carried Pennsylvania and Florida, I assume that would have been sufficient to make her the win. The official 100% reporting vote count as reported by the
exit polls show her winning Florida.
By what?
The exit polls showed her winning by 1.3%. Instead, it looks like a direct flip. Trump wins by 1.4%. Thus, you combine those, there's a 2.7% shift. And again, in regards to Florida, the likelihood of that happening is maybe one in every five elections, you're going to get that kind of flip.
Okay, so we're talking with Bob Fitzakis through my six books on election vote count in Florida, as reported by the New York Times.
Oh, let me sort of correct the Florida number. The odds of Trump winning Florida with that kind of flip once in every 221 elections. So and that would be over 4 years. So we can expect, in about 884 years, Trump would win after the exit poll said Clinton won. So that's the naturally occurring notion. He can count. So he's hitting the jackpot over and over again in 25 out of 28 states.
We're showing in Florida, Bob, that
I'm having trouble hearing you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Trump officially won 4.605 to 4.485. And the polls show Hillary Clinton would have been the rightful winner in Florida.
Yeah, 47.7 to 46.4 is that she was projected to win by 1.3%. That's with, you've got this 2% margin of error. Instead, he wins by 1.4. So there's almost a complete, she should have won by 1.3, he wins by 1.4. It looks very close to a flip. That's a 2.7% shift that is likely to happen naturally, again, once in every 221 elections, which are held every 4 years. So you could expect Trump's result, again, every 884 years.
Let's talk. Bob, and then we're going to take a couple calls here. Ohio, do you also show exit showing Hillary Clinton?
There was a toss-up. What's interesting about Ohio is Trump's margin is so massive. Clinton had 47% in the exit, so Ohio had 47.1. Trump wins 52.1 to 43.5. So there's a massive 8.6% shift to Trump. But again, if the mass purges were going on, which we suspect they were, and the high rates of provisional ballots, we sampled two black precincts, one out of 12%, and they're voting overwhelmingly for Clinton, probably 95%. One at a 12% provisional ballot rate. Another one had over 6%. If you're getting this throughout the urban area, none of those ballots have been counted yet and won't be counted for 10 days. So there's a possibility, that these exit polls, people came out, many blacks in urban areas saying, I voted for Clinton, but their votes aren't counted, and many of them may never be counted.
Well, we know that Ohio has a history of just pitching provisional ballots in the trash. You can pretty much find any little pencil mark out of place on a provisional ballot, and they'll throw it in the trash. So,
I looked at the outside envelope, and I have a PhD and a JD, and I don't think I could have filled it out correctly. I mean, there were just so many. People got to get a look at these things. There's just so many items you've got to put on the outside envelope. And again, remember, John Husted won from the Sixth Circuit after losing at the federal district court, after losing at the three-judge panel of the Sixth, the right to throw these out for minor things, writing in cursive instead of printing, writing below the line, leaving out a zip code, even though the rest of your address is correct. So, leaving off a middle initial. So who knows what's going to happen with those provisional ballots. And remember, he purged 1 million voters in the run-up to the election. He deregistered them, even though it's an ID state and we use computers. Why you're throwing people off who have to produce ID to show where they live is unconscionable. It's criminal. I don't know what else to say.
If the exit Clinton was the rightful winner in Florida, Pennsylvania, probably Michigan, probably Ohio, but that we do have, who were polls prior to the election.
Ohio and Michigan were toss-up. Dead heat in the exit poll. I suspect you're seeing some of Trump's triumph really based on these purging. So there's always the question that Husted would never answer the secret cross-check list, which, one in six minorities were on in states like Ohio, black voters We did get numerous reports of people showing up and no longer being on the voting rolls.
Yeah,
you're breaking up. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia.
Harvey, yes. Hello.
Yeah, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Are we on here at PRN? Okay, very good. Linda. Where are you calling from, Linda?
Oh, hi. It's Lynn Landis from Philadelphia.
Okay,
one
Lynn,
of my,
I don't know if you've been listening on
election integrity people.
Yes. So, Lynn Landis, have you been listening in on the show here?
Yes, I've been trying to. It does break up quite a bit. But I used to write a lot about, the exit polls and voting integrity and, of course, you know, pushing for the paper ballots and the hand counts and all that. And in fact, I filed a federal lawsuit back in 2004 on this issue. But I do want to insert a note of caution when we're talking about rigged elections, because we really have to assume they're all rigged. And we don't have to assume the person who, let's just say, benefited from it, knew about it, or actually won the race. So in the case of this latest one, based on the news media reports, during the primary, it seemed that there were a lot of reports of Bernie voters' votes flipping to Hillary. And in the general election, it seemed as though there were a lot of Trump votes flipping to Hillary. So, that's part of the whole world of evidence that we have to look at. Now, the exit polls in particular, we've been having a little bit of an email back and forth this afternoon about this issue, because all the networks use the same Edison research, and they all get together and use...
Who I'm suing.
Yeah. Well, they should be. Because, again, in the book Vote Scam, The Stealing of America, the Colliers documented that the networks basically colluded, and they colluded with the election officials and the basically to be able to verify in a not good way, in a fraudulent way, these unverifiable election results. So let me just that was about as clear as mud. I didn't say that very well, but let me put it another way.
Have you seen data indicating in this election votes flipping from Trump to Clinton?
No, these were just reports in the news media. That was all, and that's what we seem to be seeing more of votes. Actually, there was one person that there was one report of a woman, but that where she claimed her vote flipped from Clinton to Trump. But otherwise, there seemed to be more reports.
The programmers getting better on this stuff? Wasn't that just sloppy early problems? Aren't they?
Honestly, we've all said for years, and actually the head of the Election Integrity Unit, Craig Don Santo, who was basically the Justice Department's gatekeeper on this whole thing. I have a website, a webpage on him alone, and quote him as saying, if you did it right, no one will ever know. So that's
right.
The most important thing for people to keep in mind is we have elections where nobody knows really what's going on. So I wouldn't blame Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't blame Donald Trump. I wouldn't blame Bernie Sanders if these votes are being flipped all over the place, because we've bought into this completely mad, non-transparent system.
I wanted to ask you, what do you make of Ohio fighting for the right to turn off the audit trails and the ballot imaging features built in as safety mechanisms?
Honestly, I think it's a distraction. I mean, we shouldn't be arguing over the arrangement of the deck chairs on the Titanic. We should. I mean, that's a distraction. What we should be doing
except in November 2015, three counties flipped their vote flipped, and they were caught on computer by our monitors, and we were told it was human error, and we said, can we see the audit trails? Because we know they flipped, and they said, well, we turned them off.
No, I think it's really important to have a large reservoir of evidence that you and others have, and myself, have collected on this subject as proof to why we need to get rid of this system altogether and go back to hand-counted paper ballots. And, in fact,
okay, well, let's insert right here, Bob and Lynn, and we do have another caller waiting. Bob and I have put out the Ohio plan. We want a universal automatic voter registration, a four-day national holiday for voting, transparent voter rolls, registration rolls, so everybody know you can check and see if they're on. And we want universal hand-counted paper ballots. And, with the polls run by high school and college students and our elders. And that is the bottom line here. Of course, we also want to get rid of the Electoral College. We want to get rid of corporate money in campaigns. We want to end gerrymandering. So we have a system, an electoral system, that is a complete train wreck if we have trains anymore in this country.
Right. Well, one thing I do want to add.
This is the bottom line here.
Yeah, one thing I do want to add is that Trump actually himself said the other day, I caught it on TV, he said, I think the old-fashioned way was best, hand-counted paper ballots. And he said that himself. So,
well, there you go.
Right.
You know that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have both endorsed hand-counted paper ballots. Elizabeth
Excellent.
Warren also endorsed the national holiday for voting. So this is important stuff. We can't continue to do this. This is absolutely insane. Lynn, you're welcome to hang on. We have another caller in the studio. Who's that other caller? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Harvey, it's John Simon.
Hey, John. How are you?
How are you?
A couple minutes left. I'm going to invite you all back. We're going to have to do this again next week. This is a huge topic. If I had another 8 hours, we could continue to do this. But you're all welcome back on the show a week from today. We're going to continue. I understand I had a mic problem, which I didn't see or hear, but we're going to have to go into this in depth. John, real quick, what are your exit polls showing us?
Well, they're showing a familiar pattern of the red shift, certainly in some of the most competitive states. But as Lynn cautions, you know, and Lynn and I are having an email debate, even as we speak pretty much, about how much weight to place on these things. And I've always been sort of I've certainly evolved to being in the middle camp where I say, no, they're not proof, but they certainly are suggestive. And the fact that they always seem to turn out in the same direction, you know, favoring the right-wing side is something that has to be considered. It just can't simply be ignored in our desire to, you know, try to establish a false equivalence. So, you know, I do absolutely agree with Lynn that rigging on behalf of does not necessarily mean rigging by. There are many interests out there, whether it's, you know, external, Russia, domestic, you know, corporate, whatever, that have interest in U.S. elections, and it's the biggest pot of gold there is, and we've seen how much rigging there is in much lesser pots of gold, whether in sports or finance or industry.
Okay, so listen, we're near the end of the show here, and we're going to have to go into this in greater detail next week. I do want to emphasize something that Bob Strakis and I have worked on, which is and also Greg Powis, of course, which is the stripping of the voter rolls prior to the election. And we go back and forth on the exit polls. But Bob, can you give us some kind of estimate of how many minority voters you think might have been stripped from the voter rolls in this election?
Well, we know that there were 1 million in Ohio with the run-up to election, and that's happened in the past. The Free Press found 305,000 had been stripped in 2004, and then up to 2008, there was 1.25 million, many of them re-registered by the Obama campaign, but particularly Acorn, which then came under heavy fire from Karl Rove and was put out of business. About 1 million in the run-up in Ohio alone to the 2012, and now you've got another 1 million. Some of them were, of course, re-registered by the Clinton campaign, but you also had 1 million that weren't sent absentee ballots. 600,000 we knew were eligible for them, and it's an easy way to vote with the four digits. And also we know he had a secret list of nearly 500,000 that were all minorities who he claimed were double voters, the cross-check list. So, you know, what's the estimate? I'm thinking probably, you know, between cross-check and these other ones, if they successfully had 2.5 million, I'm betting that they got between 500,000 to 1 million. They were stripped off, and this is what the reports were to us. A lot, about one in every 10 voters in Ohio, overwhelmingly in the urban areas, inner city black areas, saying they showed up and they weren't on the poll books, which are now increasingly electronic.
Bob Patricus, we are almost out of time. Lynn, John, thanks for joining us. Thank you, the studio in New York. Bob Patricus and I are co-authors of the Strip and Flip Selection of 2016. John, you're the author of Code Red. We're going to do this again next week. We're going to have to sort through and find out if we can get a national number on how many people were stripped from the voter rolls before this election. And I'm going to suspect that's way out of the margin of victory here. Thank you so much. We'll be back again next week with this true horror show.